A song that brings back lovely memories of times in women's circles. I decided to wear Carol Tillman's stole that she made today. This is all her artwork, and it just, if I'm a witch, I'm the crazy bird lady witch, so this is who I am. And it is the season of the witch. Even the New York Times reported this week that witches are making a comeback, as if they ever went away. This image of a strong woman with some power is ancient and contemporary. It invokes some feelings also. Sometimes, an image of an old wise woman, we see ugliness and malice like the classic Halloween witch or the Wicked Witch of the West. Sometimes, we see Glinda, the good witch, might come to mind. Or something else entirely different from these pop culture icons. I want to return to that projection later, but let's first consider some of the history of witches and witchcraft. What does good or evil matter when the history is just so very complicated? The origin of witches is older than monotheism. The original witches were healers and brewers instead of fearsome hags. Carol Fontaine argues that the idea of the witch has been around as long as humanity has tried to deal with disease and avert disaster. In the earliest centuries of human civilization, witches were the women who served the goddess and therefore were revered throughout their communities. In the Middle East, ancient civilizations not only worshiped powerful female deities, but it was often women who practiced the holiest of rituals. Trained in the sacred arts, these priestesses became known as wise women and may have been some of the earliest manifestations of what we now recognize as the witch. Such wise women made house calls, delivered babies, dealt with infertility and impotence. According to Fontaine, what's interesting about them is that they are so clearly understood to be positive figures in their society. No king could be without their counsel. No army would recover from a defeat without their activity. No baby would be born without their presence. And there is another, less commonly known role of the witch in society, and it explains the costume we see at Halloween. Jane Payton, who is a historian and Britain's beer sommelier, thank you, of the year, wrote, "During the medieval era in Britain, when witch hunting was rife, hundreds of women were accused of witchcraft and executed. Many of those women were brewers. The visual motif we associate with female witches dates from this time. The extraordinary thing is all of them, cat, bubbling, cauldron, broom, pointed hat, are also symbols associated with brewing beer. Women put their knowledge of herbs and to good use in that craft. A cat would keep vermin at bay that would otherwise eat the malted barley. The bubbling cauldron is the vessel in which the ingredients are boiled, and when the brew cools down, yeast lands on it and ferments the sugars and creates a nice dramatic froth. The broom was used for sweeping up, but also by law, anyone selling beer was required to display an ale stake above their door as a sign that the beer was on sale. An ale stake was a wooden pole with a bunch of twigs tied on the end, and it doubled as a broom. The pointy hat was a practical way of being seen. Women with surplus beer would go to the marketplace to try and sell it. They wore the pointed hats to make themselves prominent in a crowd. So everything associated with that cartoon witch is actually connected with the female brewers of the Middle Ages. So how did that benevolent image of a wise woman, a provider of healing and popular beverages, transform into a malevolent figure we know as the witch? Some scholars maintain that the answer may be linked to events long before the birth of Christ, when Indo-Europeans expanded westward, bringing with them a warrior culture that valued aggression and male gods of war, which dominated the once revered female deities. Others believe that when the Hebrews settled in Cana, 1,300 years before the Common Era, their male-centric and monotheistic view of creation came along for the ride. Obeying laws of the Bible, Hebrews believed witchcraft to be dangerous and prohibited as a pagan practice. In fact, many of the prohibitions found in the Hebrew and Christian Bibles can be explained in this context of a shift from polytheism to monotheism. The idea that once was sacred is now profane explains the prohibition against eating pork, as well as the denigration of the snake and sexuality. The serpent, the pig, human sexuality were symbols of the goddesses that had to be expunged for monotheism to take hold. These ideas that witches were to be feared and hunted and cruelly killed happened for a reason. The 14th and 15th centuries were a time of great change, war, plagues, the church centralizing its hold on power and knowledge, and medicine becoming a male profession. The world was scary, and when things seem out of control, human beings will look for a reason. Why is this happening to us? Is there someone causing us to be punished in this way? Witches were convenient scapegoats for all sorts of unresolved troubles. In a time of male dominance in government, church, and home, witches were almost always women, but not exclusively. Occasionally, a man was accused over the centuries. He was usually connected to a woman already named as a witch, as her husband or her son. More often, the women were widows, without a husband to protect them, and on their own, forced to take a larger role outside of the home. So they were conspicuous. Sometimes they might be wealthy widows, landowners, calling into question society's strictures on women's powers. If they were healers, they angered the doctors. If they were offering wisdom on life and love, they angered the church. They tended to be assertive, the kind of woman who would stand up for herself when her property lines were crossed or her honesty impugned. Imagine, assertiveness in women was not a virtue. So alone, prominent, outside the natural order, they became prime candidates for attack. As you look at the history of witch trials in Europe and the United States, over and over, this pattern becomes clear. During times of upheaval, social, political, or ecclesiastical, witch burnings would spike. In England during the Hundred Years' War, in Germany during the Reformation, in the United States as religious intensity waned and the colonies lost their charters and came under attack, witches were an easy scapegoat for the anxiety the community was experiencing. So despite all of the terror inflicted upon them, witchcraft has returned. The feminist wave of the 20th century and made a great resurgence, and again, even today. Women reclaiming their power is a central part of the story, but men too find deep meaning in pagan ritual and practice that follows the cycles and seasons of nature and the wheel of the year. Whatever gender you claim, stepping away from hierarchical faith practices, claiming your own voice and building a community of equals is energizing and great fodder for spiritual growth. So here are a few hints of what contemporary Wiccan religion and paganism is about. The religion, which is named after an Anglo-Saxon term for craft of the wise, circles back to ancient practices that use herbs and other natural elements to promote healing, harmony, love, and wisdom, all following the simple tenet of harm none. NPR journalist Margot Adler published Drawing Down the Moon, Witches, Druids, Goddess Worshippers, and Other Pagans in America in 1979. Her book chronicles the rising neo-pagan movements in the United States. She says, "The first time I called myself a witch was the most magical moment of my life." And if you are a woman and dare to look within yourself, you are a witch. You make your own rules. You are free and beautiful and you. She describes Wiccan beliefs like this. The world is holy. Nature is holy. The body is holy. Sexuality is holy. The imagination is holy. Divinity is immanent in nature. It is within you as well as without. Most spiritual paths ultimately lead people to the understanding of their own connection to the divine. While human beings are often cut off from experiencing the deep and ever-present connection between themselves and the universe, That connection can be regained through ceremony and community. The energy you put out into the world comes back. So, this spiritual path is compatible with Unitarian Universalist principles and adds to the richness and complexity of our diversity here. Which brings me to today's recent calls of a witch hunt, usually invoked by our president when under investigation. Actually, the witch hunts of the Middle Ages, and even in Salem, Massachusetts, those witch trials all had this common fear of women and their power in anxious times. In times when science, nature, and religion all contained some superstition, a witch hunt relied on that fear to function. A crowd motivated by prejudice could easily find a scapegoat in a powerful and independent woman. I hope that we have more reason and tolerance available to us today. In fact, there's been a real shift, mostly in the 20th century, driven by popular movies and fiction. Witches have become popular and trendy again. Kate Harlow gives us short timeline history, saying that in 1641, moral panic hits Massachusetts. If any man or woman be a witch that is hath or consultus with a familiar spirit, they shall be put to death. And they were. From 1692 to 93, at the Salem witch trials, afflicted young girls feigned demonic possession. Some 150 people, mostly women, were accused, and 19 were hanged. In 1893, though, a scathing critique by women's rights crusader Matilda Jocelyn Gage exposed those witch trials as bogus. Not unsurprisingly, or not without connection, in 1900, L. Frank Baum, who happened to be Gage's son-in-law, published The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, which included good witches. Then in 1907, in a play titled Votes for Women, suffragist Elizabeth Robbins likened the treatment of women seeking the vote to the earlier treatment of witches. But in 1939, the Wizard of Oz movies hits the theaters. In 1953, Arthur Miller's play about the Salem witch trials opened on Broadway, and it's only a slight exaggeration to say that Crucible starts getting produced wherever a political coup appears imminent. In 1962, a new comic book heroine, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, is a cheerleader out to hex her classmates. 1964, TV's Bewitched, starring Elizabeth Montgomery, was a witch housewife in a very successful TV show. In 1968, the Women's International Terrorist Conspiracy from Hell, or Hexes Wall Street by squirting superglue in all the locks. Witch, as they go by, is an all-women everything. The group's manifesto states it's an awareness that witches and gypsies were the original guerrillas and resistance fighters. In the 1990s, witches are back in fashion. Hollywood pumps out Hocus Pocus, Charmed, Buffy, The Craft, The Blair Witch Project, and The Witches of Eastwick. In 2001, that year's top girl's Halloween costume is Hermione Granger from Harry Potter. In 2003, the musical Wicked flips the Wizard of Oz narrative. The Wicked Witch wasn't truly wicked, and a good witch, Glinda, was a little more complicated. And in 2006, religious objections to its witchcraft themes puts the Harry Potter series on top of the American Library Association's list of most challenged books of the 21st century. Probably why we love them so much. So from The Wizard of Oz to Harry Potter, the images of witches have been radically transformed in the 20th century. We at least now have a better grasp of the moral complexity of the role. Good witches and bad witches are just too simple a formula for the pop culture form or for the Wiccan spiritual path. If we are to take inspiration from following nature's seasons and cycles, then what we perceive as good or ill is just that, our own perceptions, influenced by our accumulated values and perspectives. In Wiccan religion, what goes around comes around is the golden rule. That means that what society needs to thrive is an awareness that in each citizen, that their words and deeds matter for the good of the whole. Living in harmony with one another and with nature requires that the common good and the individual good come into alignment. If it means creating altars with meaningful symbols and candlelight, if that brings us into alignment, it is all for the good. If any ritual or belief system cuts us off from one another, promotes hatred and denigrates the humanity of others, that is the space in which evil will surely flourish, and we will all be harmed because of it. So which witch are you today? Or which witch do you see? You might be able to tell by the fear or compassion inspired in you. May we all practice doing no harm and staying connected with the world we have grown to love in our own particular ways. May it be so, and may it still be so tomorrow.